It's the frost on the solar on the antenna.
We got an email this week. It says, no questions, just very thankful to the Romeros for all they do for hearts and homes in Arizona. Happy trails, Trigger and Buttermilk.
What's Trigger and Buttermilk? Is that?
I think that's the couple that comes up every year for the Christmas tree. Don't they call her Trigger?
I believe you're right.
They signed it Gail and William, but they also put Trigger and Buttermilk. I think this is a sign we're going to see our friends from Tempe come up again for this Christmas tree lighting up here at Prescott, Arizona. But we're joined right now, Talking Solar.
We are. And I want to bring Julie King into the conversation because as a homeowner living with a solar system that sounds like it's certainly big enough, you're dealing with 100% solar provision.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
And just so you know, we purchased our system back in 2009. We didn't have the options, the lease options that are available now.
Okay.
So basically we had the option to purchase or not go solar. So we purchased our system. It covers basically most of our electricity, virtually all of our electricity. So
in lifestyle at all? Do you have to accommodate anything?
You know, the biggest change for us was we were on a 9-to-9 system, so we did all of our laundry before 9 o'clock and you know, after 9 o'clock at night. And the difference is we want to utilize the energy that we're making with our solar. So it was just a mind shift on going from I can use energy and do laundry at 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock, or when I get home from work at 5 o'clock, doing laundry is okay. So that was really the biggest mind shift, and it's really not changing the way that you use energy. If you have the mindset of, oh, now I have solar, I can do whatever I want, then you're not going to cover the cost of all your electricity.
Okay.
You still need to be frugal. You need.
That's a great point.
On solar, and it starts a compressor for an air conditioning. I mean, is there a battery in there that does that? I mean, does that solar panel provide enough to turn that air compressor on?
So the way that it works, the way that the solar works on our home is the solar panel, the energy that's created is fed back into the grid. So we're still getting energy from the grid. We're paying all of the costs to be connected to the grid, to have APS come out and read our meter. So it's no different than somebody who doesn't have solar. We're still utilizing energy from the grid. We're just creating energy that goes back to APS that gives us credit for that.
In our situation, the net metering that's the critical aspect, because when the air conditioner is running in the summertime, or even our system wouldn't probably be enough to power both of the air conditioners. But when we overgenerate the electricity and we get to use it later on, that's the benefit of net metering.
I think that goes to the question we've got currently on hold right now. Should we bring Dan into the conversation? Was it Dan?
I think it's Scott.
It's Scott, okay.
Scott and Cave Creek, welcome to the program. Go ahead. We've got two experts here live to answer your question.
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering if solar users are generating enough kilowatts to put it back into the grid, I'm sure APS, when they're buying those kilowatt hours from those people, they're not charging, or what they're charging for those kilowatts to other users isn't the same price that they're paying for. So I don't understand why they can't work out a system where it can bring down the charges for kilowatt hours for everybody.
Are you following that, Dan?
Yeah, than charging the surcharge for the solar user, why can't we just have a way to calculate what's going back into the grid and allow everybody's rates to come down? It's free.
That's kind of the argument that we just fought at the Corporation Commission to a certain degree, where the utility company is claiming that there's solar users are not paying their fair share, and what you're saying, and we agree with, is that in fact we are paying our fair share. In fact, we're benefiting the grid, so there shouldn't be a surcharge. But that's a battle that we're going to have to continue to fight probably from now until the end of time.
And you mentioned SRP stances. You know, we built this infrastructure and that costs something. But I could also see from their standpoint, well, they have to be able to guarantee a certain amount of power generation. And there's no way they can guarantee what your house is doing and my house is doing and Rosie's house is doing and be able to say, well, we're going to just guess that 30% of our customers out there are going to generate enough today, so we're going to cut our production back to 70%. Well, if they hit a blackout, whose fault is it then? Of course, it's theirs.
Right. Well, I think that solar is never going to be the base load. You know, you've got the power plants that are out there that do that. Solar is part of the mix, you know, and it should be a big part of the mix going forward. And yes, it has its challenges, but as it gets more adoption rate, then the utility company, just like anything else, they'll figure out a way to manage around all of those issues.
Scott brings up an interesting point that I think that is probably goes deeper. My brain just went down this rabbit hole. And okay, so let's use your residence as an example, 15,000 kilowatt possible potential capacity to produce. If APS has to buy that from Palo Verde or has to buy it from Edison in L.A. or has to buy it from the coal plant at St. John's, how much are they paying for it through those natural gas plant out on the Indian Reservation, the methane plant out at the landfill? What are they paying for those kilowatts as compared to what they would buy yours from, but then they had to buy they had to install transmission lines to your house to even open up the capacity to be able to trade kilowatt. This is going to get complicated. This is going to get fun.
And we
y'all
have
stay
a,
tuned.
We have some great questions on hold as well at 1-888-767-4348.
Is APS one of the guys on hold?